I like that Brian's just holding a ukulele through this entire.
And we can hear it as he moves it around. Yeah,
it seems like it's like a safety blanket for you.
Objects become safety blankets for me, which is a full other episode that I don't want to try to understand right now why that is. But yes, often very colorful objects become things I anchor onto. Back to dating apps.
Have you ever wondered why it is that we do what we do and who we do it with? Then this is a podcast for you. An exploration of human beings through systemic psychology and Unani biotypes. With Rodrigo Garcia Plates, Ross Everett, and Brian McElhaney. This is Biotypical.
All right, everybody, welcome to Biotypical. This week, we are going to be talking about everyone's favorite topic. If you are single and not wanting to be, they are dating apps. Swiping, not swiping, getting sent unsolicited pictures, getting stood up, probably some good stuff too, but we'll figure that out as we go in. Joining us is one of our patrons, Dania. Dania, thank you for coming on and being willing to dive into your romantic dating life using dating apps for our full dissection and entertainment for some purpose.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
So you've been on a couple of times before, but just for the new listening audience, what's your bio type and personality?
Phlegmatic fake fire promoter. I'm a lot to handle.
Yes, she is.
Even the way you say that, I'm like, yep.
Yeah. It's fun sometimes, though, you know? We have a good time.
Yeah.
So what apps are you on?
Was on. So that's the thing. It was a very short time that I was on those apps because the first three guys that I interacted with was kind of just enough for me on top of the other things I didn't like about the app, and that was Bumble.
Bumble's where the girl talks first, right?
You match, yes, and the conversation doesn't start. Yeah, the conversation doesn't start until the woman starts talking. And they usually have 24 hours. And if it works the way it used to work when I was still single, they give you like extension tokens. So if a girl doesn't text you, you can use one of those tokens to give her an extra 24 hours to text you, and they let her know that you just spent an extension on her.
Is that still how it works, Finia?
I didn't stay long enough.
Did you? I was on Bumble briefly one time because I was like, oh, this is great. I don't have to start the conversation, which is so awkward on dating apps. But I ended up not liking it at all. I don't know. I don't remember why exactly. But what was your experience with that, being the woman who had to start the conversation?
First of all, they give you prompts as well. Like if you like, I don't know what to say. So they gave you prompts in case you don't know what to say. And some of them are kind of, they're like simple stuff like favorite vacation spot, place that you like to go all the time. And then there's other questions that are, I don't know, just weird.
I want to know the weird ones, because favorite vacation spot will tell you absolutely nothing about a person.
Literally nothing.
It's the most surface question that you could ask someone. And I want to dive into this because I'm going to have some questions for you later, Rodrigo. Are dating apps actually designed to support in creating a real relationship?
No.
Okay, great. We'll get into that in a little bit later. But Dania, just break it down for us. What are some other prompts that they gave?
The weird ones to me were just kind of like, they were just a little bit more, I guess, kind of icebreakers, more so to speak. Like two truths and a lie and things like that. I'm having trouble thinking of the other ones because I didn't like them. And it's just because they were kind of very surface level conversations. And you do also have the option on there to say if you're just looking to be casual or if you're looking like for something a little bit more serious. I think there's also like a friends option on Bumble too. But ooh, I picked the more.
They had a professional option on there too when I was on it years ago. Yeah.
Yes. A lot of them have like just looking for friends. And I'm always like, get out of here. Who's looking for friends on these things?
My
like,
friend Jazz did it and she found someone and she was just sweet as pie.
Wow. To me, I'm like, I have enough friends. Like, I can't imagine just like going on a dating app to get a new buddy to be my buddy to hang. That seems so weird to me. Maybe I'm being too judgmental, but
you're being a little bit judgmental, but at the same time, it's where the world is going. Like your judgment is completely justified because dude, in China, you can rent friends to go to the movies.
I judge that.
What?
I'm judgmental in my mind right now about this. Rent friends to go to the movie.
Yeah, it's like a dating app, but you actually hire someone. Like the people that you're looking at is not for them to be your actual friends or to have a relationship with them, but you rent them out for a couple of hours. Come with me to this party. Let's go to the movies. I don't want to have lunch alone. Things like that. It's becoming, as the world is becoming more and more isolated, it's going to be something that will be more common each time. You'll see.
Are these for people who don't have
same friends? Employment like, opportunities?
Yeah, that too.
That's so sad.
It's cheaper than a therapist.
But people are lonely. Oh. Remember, we've spoken about this in the past. In one of the most melancholic countries, one of your homelands, Mr. Marvels, in Japan, they have a huge problem with the hikikomori. And the hikikomori are people that completely isolate from society.
Hmm. Wow.
So are we seeing that trickle into Western culture as well?
I think it will, but dating apps are really good at revealing what the patterns are in society, because the problems that I see from people going through this whole process of dating apps in every country is completely different, because all it does is exacerbate everything that was already there. It just makes it more powerful and it gives you more range and it allows you to connect to way more people. But then you'll just carry on doing the exact same thing that you were doing through your beliefs and given the culture that you're in. In Mexico, I know a lot of people that have married people that they met through Tinder, for example. Mm. And some of the most interesting human beings I've ever met, I met through Tinder, and we're still friends.
Dania, will you re-download the app just for this conversation so you can actually bring up?
Yeah,
I want to see some. Show the receipts.
Brenna said she met her fiance on Tinder, which is interesting.
In 2017, really? Though.
I remember when
I was terrified
Tinder,
to go on Tinder.
When Tinder first came out, it was such a cool idea and a cool concept of like, I can meet these people. It's location-based. It's around me. And then like I'll even compare this curve to Clubhouse, where it was really cool at first because it was like only those who know were kind of on it. There was like a certain caliber of person that was on there. And now it just feels like it's fuckboy central, scam bait, like the Tinder swindler, like that sort of stuff where you just meet, I'm going to call them just garbage people. When I say garbage people, you know what I mean. It's not saying that they're helpless.
Men who work for the industry of collecting
you
trash.
You just meet sanitation workers.
That is so racist, Ross.
Against which race,
bro?
Which race was
sanitation workers, the race.
Sanitation workers.
That live beneath the ground. Yeah.
But Italian says Charlie.
Charlie, no.
If anyone got offended about that, we can send you Charlie's email address and physical address if you need it.
Charlie says, I could say it with no justification as to why he can say it, which is very funny.
You know what I think about when we talk about dating apps, so we have to kind of like parse apart kind of our definitions here, because I've gone through so many phases of fuck those things, I'll never be on them, and, it's ruining society, to whatever, I'll get on them, hey, it's fun, to hey, those people met their partners, maybe this is the way to meet people, to fuck these things again. I've kind of gone through the whole thing. I think like it's important to be like, there are actually a few different conversations that kind of get mixed together, which is like, there's one conversation which is, you know, is this a viable way to meet somebody? One of them is this a way to meet someone that is, you know, as real as meeting someone in real life? Then there's the other conversation, which is, does this do a good thing to your brain being on it? Which is a fully different conversation to, is this an applicable thing to meeting someone in a real way? So it's like sometimes those two things get mixed together. So people are like, it sucks. No, it's awesome. They're kind of arguing two different things. They're arguing the thing of like, no, it sucks because what it does to your ego and just swiping with people is like so terrible for like everyone to like get in that mindset. And then someone else will be like, what are you talking about? It's amazing. I met my husband. I met my wife on it, which are two very different things. But I feel like people can often like get emotionally connected to one of them and fight for the validity of the app, you know, based on.
Yeah, I have a friend that had the rom-com situation where he recently, not recently, but at the time he'd made a lot of money. Like he first made his wealth, bought like a really nice car. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to get on this app and I'm going to be a thirst trap. Like I'm going to like find one of those gold diggers and just like have fun. And at the same time, his now wife was getting on there and being like, you know what? Like, I'm just going to go find some rich guy and just like have a fun night. Like, just like they were both going against their normal pattern. And in doing that, they met each other and now they're very happily married. which is bonkers to me.
It's not bonkers. It's exactly what I'm talking about. Here's the first bomb of the episode. I know we're used to saying bad things about technology and hating it because of how it spies on your privacy and just gets your information and sells it and ads and blah, blah, blah. But as far as I know, at least Bumble and Tinder don't do anything when it comes to like biasing your selection.
Really?
Yeah. Like all they do is areas. But the thing is this. What people think about dating apps is usually what they already thought about relationships. Again, just extrapolated and exacerbated. So what I'm saying is probably Brian's opinion about relationships was like that too, just in longer periods of time. I'm in a relationship, it makes sense. I don't want the relationship anymore. This is crazy. Why do people react like this, et cetera, et cetera. Just in a really fast fashion, in a really fast pattern. Because it just shows us who we are in relationships, because it gives us a lot of opportunities to prove who we are and the types of results that we create given who we are.
Interesting. It's very interesting.
So at some point during this episode, I would like for Dania to share the screen of her phone as she swipes, and we'll put this behind the Patreon wall, and we are going to coach you. Or by we, I mean Rodrigo, on the conversations that you're going to instigate. And we want to see what you've done so far.
I love doing this.
So
this will come later in the episode, but first, yeah.
If you're open to it, obviously.
First disappointing thing, I have no receipts. I don't know, for some reason, maybe I'm logging in the wrong way, but my last account, but I'm creating a new one now so I can tell you guys what the process is. So we do that.
Yeah. If you deleted yours permanently, even if you use the same username and everything, everything is gone, usually.
Oh, that's good. I love a good clean deletion because that doesn't exist anymore. Like if you delete your Instagram, you're like, okay, I want to come back. They're like, we've stored everything. It's like, you never left. Welcome back. So
you mean except for when your wife deletes everything in your computer, right?
Yeah, I hate when my wife does that.
your wife sucks, Ross.
Yeah. I know. It's like she's never here.
I've never seen her. Yeah.
She lives in Canada.
Yeah.
Dania, what are we talking about today? What's going on with your questions about dating apps?
So there was I asked what from last week, what does a healthy dating life of each biotype look like? And then I also asked about biotype most likely to cheat and polyamorous relationships, I guess, kind of as a whole. Because my therapist suggested to me to get on a dating app just to be seen, because I've been in relationships since high school. And then I got out of a 3-year relationship because we were just in college together, so we saw each other all the time, and I was just used to like being with them all the time, and I was just like, I'm bored. Like I had someone to do stuff with, and now I'm bored, and I go out, I take myself out, I don't mind being alone, I've gotten used to it now, I kind of like it now, but just I'm bored. So she was like, you got to kiss a few more frogs, like just go just try it. And I'm like,
you kiss too many frogs is how you get warts.
do not have warts. Disclaimer there.
Yeah.
And I figured I'd try it because why not? And again, very short experience. I think probably 24, 26 hours was this entire cycle that I used Bumble for. Like it was a weekend, but totaled up to like 24 hours.
Okay. What did you fully dislike about it that made you get off so quickly?
And did you only try Bumble, or were you on Hinge? Were you on Tinder? What are the other ones?
I was on Tinder for quicker than I was on Bumble, just because I immediately retreated. I didn't even wait for a response. I was just like, ugh. And for good reason, because the fucking Tinder swindler came out. So my intuition wasn't wrong. So I just got nervous and pulled back from Tinder. And I didn't want to do Hinge because, again, I'm supposed to be on here just kissing frogs, not trying to get into anything serious.
And you feel Hinge like Hinge has the reputation for something serious.
It's the dating app meant to be deleted.
That's their marketing
the commercial
works.
Says. Yeah. Yeah.
So let me tell you something. There are a lot of frogs on Hinge. Okay? Yeah. I know a lot of guys who are total frogs on Hinge. So if you're looking for a frog, they're there.
There's frogs every freaking where. That's why I got off Bumble.
Okay, listen, here's the thing. All men are frogs, okay? Like, that's what I'm trying to say here. They're all frogs. Sometimes they disguise themselves briefly, not as a frog, but they are.
I downloaded Tinder years ago because I forgot, like, someone was like giving me feedback about, like, you don't know what it's like for a woman on this app. So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to become a woman on this app and then see firsthand what this
That's
is.
Fun.
So I asked my friend if I could borrow her photos, and she was like, yeah, sure, do whatever you want. And I created a profile on Tinder as a woman to see what it was like.
This is great.
You did that Netflix show. Do you know that Netflix show where they do that? They compete, like, as they can be themselves, or they can, like, make a fake profile and they compete
catfish.
To see who becomes
That's
the most.
Like,
yeah.
Catfish, they compete for, like, as a competition. Really, who could reel in the biggest fish?
Charlie said, Ross, that was you?
Yeah. So. But I do remember it was just like,
DDF all the way.
Well, here's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see how I could stop the engagement, because a lot of what people were telling me was like the persistence was out of the world. They didn't know when to stop. Like, these guys would keep harassing them. And there was like I was like, let's see how these guys handle rejection. Do they go, fuck you, you dumb whore, you stupid slut, you bitch? Like, you know, we hear about those big explosive reactions mm-hmm. to rejection. But I don't think I ever got one person exploding at me. The worst I got was just a guy who was relentless saying, come to Florida, which is like, there's your red flag. But he no matter how many times he said, no, thanks, not interested. It was persistence, but there wasn't any anger at me in my direction. But anyway, that was just my, recap of my Tinder experience.
But again, I feel like it has a lot to do with who you are.
Yeah, it was my ontological way of being that it
exactly.
wasn't triggering that in them.
You rarely trigger that in people in general. Like, you trigger other things, but not that. And then what happens is, even
cool.
as you're pretending,
yeah, let's hang on to that. So.
No, what I'm trying to say is that, knowing you, you might trigger people in, like, the way you can dismiss an idea. Like, I can see how people can feel, like, not intellectually valued by you. And I can see how that could trigger them. Because if you're literally not interested, or you have completely made up your mind about something, you're absolutely dismissive about any opinion that they can give you in that direction.
Yeah,
so I can.
Yeah. You feel that too, Brian?
Yes. What? This goes back to what Shaman Durek was telling you.
Yeah.
Dude, look at the chat. Everybody's going like, yes, agreed. But that's right. Not something that comes across in dating apps. But if you act like you're interested, if you make a man a little bit horny about the whole situation with you, and then you completely dismiss them, that's exactly how you get that response.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not justifying their response or saying that it's someone else's fault. Like, it's still something broken within that guy. But they're easily triggered that way when they're broken in that specific way.
You know how I think I remember myself doing it was just, it was kind of apologetic. It wasn't, I would be like, you know, like, hey,
I'm sorry, this is not for me.
Yeah, exactly. It was just very like, because I know what it feels like on the other side of that. And then for someone to just be like, not interested or anything like that. Like, if you trigger any sort of insecurity with them, that could evoke that. But just to be like, you know, like, after talking, this isn't really what I'm looking for. That are like very soft, and like the best I can explain it is like you're putting a baby that's already sleeping down into a crib. Like, that's the kind of energy you want to do.
You're so phlegmatic.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
What?
Don't wake the baby. You just put it down in the crib and let it keep it, make sure it's sleeping, and then you leave the room. That's the same way to dismount a conversation with a guy on a dating app.
Back to Dania. So you had these few interactions before you pulled off on Tinder?
Pulled off, yeah. No, I just, on Tinder, the guy usually does reach out first, and there was one or two. So I just got nervous about responding, and I didn't respond.
Where are you based out of? Where are you based out of?
Maryland, Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay, so that's going to be a way different dating pool than we have here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You can, change your range too, to how far you're willing to look or how far you're willing to go or something like that. So
and
you can make it, you can open it up.
Does passport still exist in Tinder? Because they used to have this passport thing. and you could start a matching with people in a city that you were going to go to.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can do that. That's I think you can do that on Bumble too.
Oh, that's literally how one of my wife's closest friends met her American boyfriend that lives in Germany, and they just had a baby.
Wow.
So Dania's original question was, what does healthy dating look like for each biotype?
So I was first going to ask, Rodrigo, do you already see, which is the way Dania talks about using her dating app, how her beliefs about relationships have transferred over to how she's using Tinder?
100%, but especially because I've worked with Dania in the past. So I know why she's a fake buyer, and I know what she believes about men and relationships in general.
Very good.
What's that about?
Oh, yeah, we're going to get to that in a bit. But first, I want to start with the general overview for the listening audience to be able to kind of see themselves in this. So maybe for the sake of this, let's talk about biotypes and the way in which they approach dating apps. I mean, you said that it's kind of similar. But first, Rodrigo, my question is, what would each biotype's rejection of the dating app look like, and what would the healthy way for them to interact with a dating app look like?
I think that's the ones that suffer the most are the ones that receive the most, that give less. So when we talk about melancholics and phlegmatics in general, they're going to be paying more attention to who cholerics and sanguines are being on the app and all the information that they're getting. So the biggest complaint that I've heard from phlegmatics is the lack of intimacy and the ability to really get to know the person before you have to expose yourself to actually meeting them in person. Like, I want to know more. I want to know more about who they are, how it feels to be with them. Like, I need more information. And when it comes to melancholics, it's very similar, but with melancholics, it's about intellectual certainty. Melancholics never feel safe on Tinder, like on dating apps in general, especially melancholic women. Because it never feels like they have enough information. It never feels like they're absolutely certain about what's going to happen if I go. What if this guy's like this? What if this guy's like that? And with melancholic men, I've seen it too. Like, melancholic people feel betrayed by dating apps the most, because they marry the pictures and they marry the paragraph that they see. What by Mary, I'm saying it, I'm literally translating from Spanish, but like they completely buy into the pictures and they completely buy into the information. And then they get disappointed massively when they finally meet the person and they don't look exactly like the pictures, or it was not like the picture was the best angle ever. And people do that a lot. Or it's a picture of me from 3 years ago when I was way skinnier and fitter than what I am right now. Melancholics really suffer with that. What I've seen is that in the case of cholerics, fire, waters, and sanguines, they see dating apps more like an audience, because they just get to portray who they are and they love doing it, and they just repeat the same thing constantly. Like, this is who I am and this is what I like. They're very outgoing. So they see it as just a new audience. And that's why you don't see cholerics and sanguines talking about what dating app is best. They're all the same. They're just a portal in which I can portray who I am and use my charm and use how much of an extrovert I am to actually create relationships. That's why we rarely see them complaining about dating apps.
That tracks. A question came up for me while you were saying that, because I know that there's a long duration of chatting before you either have a phone call with the person and hear their voice, or even meet up in person, face to face. Like, COVID aside, I get that kind of threw a wrench in it. But back when I was like on dating apps years ago, my therapist would be like, don't talk to them so much in the chat. Like, you're creating like a false emotional connection. You don't know who this person is. So, and I've seen this also when friends are doing it. Oh, I'm talking to this guy, I'm talking to this person. And it's very much like you don't even know
them. They fall in love with the people. I like, my second line is often, let's go get a drink tonight, now, right now, let's go. I just want to not have any conversation with the person, because I just know I've had it happen before. And I'm like, oh, you build such a narrative. And I'm like, I just want to get past this app to you as soon as possible.
Interesting. Like, have I gotten that response of let's go have a drink tonight? I think I would probably, it depends on how much I was into you, but I'm either going to be like, okay, like, cool. Or like, it's like, that was easy. Or I'll be like, why? What's going on here? Like, kind of a creepy kind of thing. Like, why do you want to see me now?
Right now, know, my house.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what's going on?
Do you know what I would do? I'm going to reveal something. When I was single back then, and I used Tinder a lot, I would immediately ask them for their number and to have a conversation on the phone.
Yeah.
Immediately. And do you know what I was thinking? I didn't want them to have someone like me sitting beside them telling me what to, like telling them what to answer me.
So it's your way of like screening them, be like, do you have a Cyrano de Bergerac kind of piping in your ear telling you what to write?
I wanted to know their authentic responses and how they sounded like and how they reacted to certain things. Because if you send a message that's sort of taking the relationship or the conversation into a new direction or into a new level, that waiting period is horrible, and you never know how they're going to respond. But if you do it on the phone, you can hear them on the other side immediately, and you know who they are. You know really how they're reacting.
Yeah, I love that. Hearing a voice is really important.
That gives you 45% of information, according to sociology.
Yeah,
because when you listen to tone and words, you have 45% of the message. 55 is body language.
Yeah, I did that. With one of the guys, because in his profile, he said, like, he said, no dry conversations, FaceTime or phone call dates are available. You know, like if we match. And I was like, that's kind of funny.
Did he send you a Calendly link? Are available?
No. But he did, like, he did that, though. Like, that was a thing he did. I was like, that's kind of funny, though. Like, weird, but kind of funny. And we matched. So I was like, what do you mean no dry conversations? Like, what does that mean? And he was like, well, we can just like talk and see and then whatever. And I was like, okay, cool. And he had an iPhone. So we just decided to FaceTime each other instead of anything. Because if, you know, we're in the same area, if we decided to meet up, it'd be easier that way anyways too. But we did a FaceTime conversation for about an hour. And I wanted to be off really at like 25 minutes.
But stayed on for an extra 35 minutes. Okay.
I mean, the conversation wasn't bad. It was just, it drug on for a while. He was nice enough, and it was going.
And melancholics are probably also most likely to stay on for way longer. Sanguines probably just wouldn't be aware that this isn't fun or going anywhere, or they wouldn't mind it so much, I should say. But it breaks my heart thinking about, like, back in my 20s, the dates that I would go on, that from the moment we started, I was like, I don't want this. But we spent 2 hours hanging out because it was just emotional caretaking and ego protection.
No, yep. You're not going to waste my time.
A lot of people I know, I mean, this is kind of a classic thing, but you do a first date and it's, you do it like coffee, middle of the day, and you have a hard out at 30 minutes. So it's like, we can do this, we can meet, but I have to be gone. 30 minutes, like you literally schedule something. So it's not like you're getting sucked into drinks and you don't know how to say no. It's like literally you're out. So if it's good, great, you see him later. And if it's not, you had a really quick like in and out and you got to get out without having to like, you know, hurt anyone's feelings or, you know, you didn't have the opportunity to kind of just sort of like,
that's the best way to have a first date. Because if you do that, like I completely agree with that. Because if you do that by the end of it, you're dying to spend more time with them. And you don't overdo it, and you create more desire to be together and to connect and to know each other, etc. And if it's bad, you're out.
Yeah.
How does that look if like maybe one's feeling it and the other doesn't? Because I did that, but at a bar. So he wanted to go out to eat, but the restaurant had a bar. And I was like, let's have a drink first. And so like I sat through the drink and then I realized I really don't want to sit through the whole night. So he was like, do you want to go get it? I got to go. Sorry. And so I went home. But I texted him out or on the way home. I was like, thanks for the night, you know, appreciate it. But I texted him also the next day so I could be like, yeah, that was fun, but no thanks. But he didn't get the message. He was just kind of like, oh, that's cute, but we're going to do this again sometime, right? Like, no, we're not. I don't want to. That wasn't fun for me. Like, I don't want to do it. So it seemed like he was really, really wanting to do it. And I just used it for that purpose, like in and out, quick first date type thing.
It's not that he was ready to do it. He was already doing it. Like what he was experiencing was exactly what his ego was looking for. If he found you attractive first, if he found you attractive in the first place, you're a fake fire and you're extremely strong and you're extremely independent. We've been through this. So what type of man feels attracted to that?
Codependent.
That Exactly. That already gives you a lot of information. And then if you add to that, that they might have some trauma around rejection and they have normalized rejection and they were never good enough for mom. Oh my God, you guys are a match made in heaven for him, because your rejection feels exactly like what he's looking for.
Okay. That so I shouldn't have gone on the date.
That makes you 10 times more attractive. Like seeing you not being into it gives him the opportunity to do what we know as a fake egoic promise, which is if I am good enough, if I show myself powerful enough, then she will finally turn around and want to be with me. If you want someone like that to stay away from you, just start showing interest and they'll fall out of love with you in literally a couple of weeks.
But does that mean that you have to go with someone for a few weeks if you don't want to go on a date with them?
Yeah, that's no. My problem.
I was thinking, like, it's almost as if the advice is, if someone is attracted to you, stay away. Like, that means that their trauma is being triggered and you're not going to like it.
How disappointing is that?
If someone's attracted to your image, yes. Because okay. If you already know how you build your personality and your image, then if you're doing your work and if you're paying attention and if you're growing as a human being, then you'll be able to understand this whole dynamic very easily. Like the people that are attracted to you are attracted to you because of their own masks and their own trauma and their own pain, et cetera, et cetera. That's why love isn't really created in the middle of falling in love and that initial egoic attraction that we call falling in love. It's created when you're creating something larger than both of you and you know who each of you are, and it's not about that initial attraction that will go away anyways. It's because you're falling in love, not with the person, but who you're becoming and what you're building together. But I know that this sounds like just wishy-washy bullshit. The thing is,
like what I want, though.
I know. The thing is, until you get there and until you realize that these are not just words, it doesn't really make sense. And this is why I love telling the story about how I met my wife, and she hates it. Because most people are dying to feel that falling in love emotion, that gut pull towards the other person. And the crazy thing is, I feel like the most amazing relationships in the world never start like that. They never start with this egoic attraction towards each other, because if I feel this crazy attraction towards someone, it's not me, it's my ego.
That's why people say, like, when they saw the one they knew and it was like different than everything else that they'd felt in the past.
Yep. 100%.
So when you say beware of people falling in love with your image, does that mean I should be wary of people who fall in love with my promoter?
Your mask.
My promoter thing that I do?
If they find you whimsical, Brian, watch
most
out.
Do. Uh-oh. Hey, I am naturally whimsical.
No, you truly are, but that should be something that they get as a benefit, not the thing that they're chasing. Because like if they're drawn to your positive mask, then you're going to be stuck in it. And then the moment that you drop it, or like, you know, it cracks or something like that, which in any long-standing, solid relationship, masks need to be able to come down and the bond needs to be strong enough around it. But if they're chasing your mask, which is what most people present on dating apps, right, is their mask, the moment that drops and things get real, they go, this isn't what I signed up for.
Yep. The crazy thing about it is that people never really want to look in the right direction. When it comes to relationships, half of the world is suffering, if not 75% of the world. They don't know how to be in a relationship. They don't know how to create one. Everybody wants one. Nobody knows why. Nobody knows what for. And we all know people that were way better when they were apart and they didn't know each other. And now they're suffering like crazy, but they won't let go of each other because we don't seem to understand the purpose of relationships and marriage itself. Like it was a political, economical figure, not a romantic thing. And once we started borrowing those terms like marriage and started using them as a romantic thing, that's where we got in trouble. But the initial attraction that you can feel for someone else comes from your ego, not from you. And if you don't understand the patterns that you fall into and what you usually fall in love with, because we follow it like it's the Bible, like it's the most important thing in the world. And if you're not paying attention to that, if you're not paying attention to your patterns and your image and the type of people that you draw in with your image, then you're flying blind and trying to make it work. But when you start realizing how this works, it becomes even funny to watch. It becomes extremely interesting because I already know exactly the type of people that my patterns are attracted to, and I know exactly the type of patterns of people that are attracted to my mask. So it's funny to watch because as soon as you meet someone, you can look at them and go like, oh, your ego's going to go wild in a minute because this other person is here. And just by looking at them, I know that they're your poison of choice. And then you just wait and allow it to unfold and they feel like it's magic. It's not. It's psychological patterns 100%.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm really thinking about what you said about how people's relate, way they view relationships is how they relate to dating apps. Because like that's kind of a huge thing to think about, because if you ask anyone, what do you feel about relationships? It's like asking people, like, what are they looking for in a relationship? They'll tell you their what they think their answer is, like, or what they think they should say. But if you ask someone, like, what do you think of dating apps, or how do you use dating apps? People will be really honest, not knowing they're revealing much about,
because like talking about themselves.
Even me, I'm like, yeah, dating apps. Like, I have so much fun with them that I hate myself for using them. And they're fucking stupid. But then I'm like, well, whatever, I'll use it anyway. But then I do it, and I hate that I'm on it, but I kind of love it at the same time. And I'm like, oh my god, have I fully revealed like how I also view relationships as well,
Brian? That's who you are in relationships, just exacerbated. It's the Tinder swindler.
Yeah,
Tinder didn't create that guy. That guy was already doing that. Tinder just became a bigger platform. That's it. And it's the exact same thing with anyone else. People are just doing their swindling thing, even if it's not money, even if it's an emotional thing, even if it's a like codependency in relationships. You'll just try your same bullshit, and these people just gave you a microphone and a platform to reach more people with your BS.
What quickly creates him? Is it post-teenage mom and dad? Did he have neither of either and is trying to make it look like he... Like, what makes that type of psychotic person?
This guy looks like a lot of mom, no dad, and if, like... I don't like diagnosing people just because I saw an image of them or a documentary, because it can be very misinterpreted and misportrayed in the documentary.
Right.
But if I had to guess, I would say that this guy has a lot of mom, no dad, and a little bit of a sociopathic pattern. Not a full-blown sociopath, but a little bit of a sociopathic behavior. Because the most important thing is everything he does is social, and he doesn't seem to subscribe to social norms or understand social consequences.
Yeah, that's very true.
And he got away with it. That's who he is. Yeah. Well, of course you do.
That diamond company's going to sue him, though.
Oh, good. Okay, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I was wondering
if there's like defamation of character, something like that.
GoFundMe me for any of those women or something to like get some of the money back, like that happened after the Fire Festival documentary. Like, is anyone? No.
What do you, Rodrigo? What are your thoughts on? Let's take the Tinder swindler for example. And by the way, if you haven't watched the Tinder swindler, there's some spoilers here, because. Let's talk about why that worked on those women that it worked on.
Do you notice the pattern on the women, right?
They're fake.
Weren't they like mostly
They're all from like Sweden.
They're all phlegmatic fake fires in their 30s that are lonely and have good position when it comes to their career and the access to money that they had. And that is such a sweet spot. Like, this guy is a genius, because if you show yourself more powerful than fake fires, being able to care for them and love them and provide for them, even though they're independent and they've fought to be independent for a really long time and they feel really comfortable in their lives, you need to show up way stronger than them, way more powerful than them, and then they open up emotionally. The thing is, not a lot of people know how to open up a fake fire emotionally. Especially if it's a powerful, controlling, fake fire woman. They thrive to be independent. They thrive not to need anyone. They thrive not to be manipulated. They're dying to never experience anything like that. And they're good at it. Like, they're very masculine, very powerful, very goal-oriented. They know what they want. They know where they're going. You need to be massively powerful or show up in a massively powerful way, way more powerful than them, for them to feel safe with you and to actually start opening up an emotional space with you. That's the problem in the whole thing, that these women aren't mad about the money. These women aren't mad about being emotionally manipulated. That's the pain. That's what's really happening. But the whole dynamic, if you pay attention to it, it's even hard to break down and understand. Because imagine if I... Yeah.
What about the last girl who actually like swindled them back, like got her money back? What's her...
Well, first, she didn't get her money back. She just got like maybe 10% or above her money back selling the money. Well, but yeah, here's the thing. I think he was actually into her.
Really?
Yeah. He had been with her for 18 months without having asked for anything. And she was out of the pattern. She worked at a store. She wasn't a well-placed to a fake fire in a powerful career.
Huh.
Yeah. Well, I think he fell for her.
Here's another interesting thing is fake fires don't often ask for help.
They rarely do.
And if you're in a situation, like think about that first message that the initial girl sent to her friends. Her friends were like, be careful. And she's like, My enemies are behind me. No, she was like, I'm going on a plane. I'm going with this guy. We're going to fly.
Oh, yeah.
And her friends were like, are you serious? Like, would it be careful? Like, she wasn't sharing with them, like, hey, here's where I'm going. Here's my location. Will you be sure that I'm okay? She was kind of bragging.
Yes.
Like, look at what's going on. So if that goes wrong in any way, shape, or form, I'm sure they kept this to themselves as their own personal deep, dark secret until this thing exploded and shattered that mask that they were able to uphold. And they're like, I really need help. Any other biotype, like a phlegmatic, would be like he's asking for money. Like, what do I do here? You know, like.
Yeah, I was wondering that. Where it's like, this was happening to me, I'd like call my dad and be like, what? Am I crazy? Like, I was like, how are these people not reaching out to their friends and family, being like, hey, I need money. This guy's asking for money. Is this above board or not? Is it because he found
fake fires? There's the one biotype and personality that you can do this to, and they will still act strong, not ask for support, and not care what other people feel. Because do you have any idea how magic emotional connections feel to a fake fire once they understand how to drop into the water and connect with someone else from there? That's why we have so many fake fires in RGB development.
It feels so rare. It feels like this is the only place where I can get unique. This from. That's why it feels mad. They all got caught up in the romance of it. The things that he was saying, remember they were talking about how he opened up to them in the bed about the scars on his back. Brian, you saw this movie, right?
Yeah, I loved it.
So the scars on his back, like all this stuff, feel like we had this most intimate, vulnerable thing where it's like for a fake fire to let that wall down is huge for them because they never do that.
I can give you an example. When I met my wife, she's a fake fire. The first thing I told her is I'm going to marry you. And she hated me for it because I had an open and emotional space with her. The next time I mentioned it, once I had done all the emotional work of making her feel safe and loved and valued and everything else, when I repeated for real, like, I want to marry you, she broke down in a beautiful way. But now that there was an emotional connection, now it landed. And it landed in a place where nothing had landed for decades before because she didn't allow it. So once a fake fire opens up her heart like that, it's very hard for them to distinguish that what they're doing is being abused.
By the way, to all the fake fires listening to this, we are working to develop specific curriculums for fake fires. So that's something that will be coming in the future. So keep your eyes peeled on our mailing list, and we will be keeping you guys posted about anything we offer there.
I want to talk about something, but now that we're opening this topic, this is a really hard conversation to have with a lot of people, but when we hear about, like, for example, sexual abuse in the workplace or sexual harassment in the workplace, we always think of this weak victim that is suffering in the office because of some asshole. Well, just for you to know, the stories of sexual abuse that fake fires have,
abuse
and no
or harassment,
abuse and harassment.
Okay.
That fake fires have gone through in the workplace that no one ever knows about are the worst. Because they're the ones that happen really high up in the scale where someone who's massively powerful starts being nice and opening an emotional space with this fake fire that's probably the CEO of a company, like they're high up in the scale. They have a lot to lose if they want to tell a victim story. Mm-hmm. And they open up an emotional space because they usually do it by becoming your father figure or somehow becoming the masculine energy that protects you that you've never had before. And then by the time they realize it, they're going through horrible things and they can't even complain about it. They don't know what's going to happen to their careers. They don't know what's going to happen if they admit it openly. How are they going to be seen by other people? So they never ask for support. They rarely tell people and they just keep on going.
Wow. Oh, here's what, there's an anecdote I was going to say earlier. So I remember one time Nick, my comedy partner, was on dating apps and we were in Austin one night. We were all drunk and he was like, oh, everyone take my dating app and just write whatever you want. I don't care. Like he wasn't really having much luck with them. So all of us took these apps and we'd match people and we'd write insane shit, right? We were like 26. Next morning he woke up and every single girl had responded pretty much in good ways to all these crazy shit we wrote. And Nick was like, I write, hello, how are you? You look beautiful. Your dog looks awesome. I don't know. All these like normal things. And like it's hit and miss, mostly miss. If it hits, it's like pretty boring. All of you insane idiots who wrote this like crazy nonsense, all of it worked. Like, what the fuck is this? And it was just like such an interesting like lesson that like being interesting and unique is kind of like there's a flip side to this, which is I was on a dating app and I gave it to Nina Rouhani, my friend that you guys know.
She's
a neuroscientist. We love Nina. And I was like, here, do it. I was like drunk. I was like, do whatever you want. Do what Nick did. And so she responded to people and it was so, don't give that girl your phone. I remember one girl was like, it was this really sweet girl on the dating app and she had like, in her app, she had a photo of her and a dog and a photo of her petting a giraffe in one and a photo of her like with a cat in one of them. She clearly was an animal lover. And Nina wrote, marry, fuck, kill the three animals in your photos. And I was like, Nina. And the girl just responded, bye, and then left. And I was like, all right, well, it didn't work as well with Nina as it did with Nick.
What you did on Nick's phone, that there's a reason why that works. Yes. It's actually one of the secrets of becoming a really good therapist. Oh. Learning how to put the weight on someone else and not on you.
Oh, yeah. Ooh,
because
smart.
Most people feel like they need to carry the weight, especially when you're getting to meet someone. Like you match someone on the dating app and you feel like now you need to prove yourself. Now you need to be smart and you need to be able to say smart things. And you feel like you're doing okay if the person is drilling you with questions and you're giving them answers that keep them interested. But that's not true. If you're doing that, you're using all of your insecurities trying to prove that you're good enough for someone, which is probably part of your trauma, and it's one of the most common types of trauma that people have. If you throw a stone out a window, you're going to hit someone that doesn't feel good enough for their life. Like, this is true about almost everyone. But if you're outrageous, then the weight is on them. And they get to prove who they are and if they're ready for you and if they're ready for this type of conversation while you enjoy yourself being outrageous and crazy.
We're going to put this into action right now with Dania on her dating app. If you guys want to join us for that part of the conversation, head on over to patreon.com/RGPdevelopment and you can hear full episodes. You can even join us live. Thanks for listening and we'll see you next week.
We love you guys.
Want more Biotypical? Well, good news, there's a longer version of this episode available at patreon.com/RGPdevelopment. There, you'll also be able to find ways to get on the podcast yourself, ask questions, as well as watch a live taping remotely. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast and subscribing. Remember to rate this 5 stars wherever you're listening to it, and we'll see you next time.